I tend to do is to just mute everybody and then just come in, unmute yourself when you want to share something or when you want to answer, because then you just cut out all the sort of the background noise and stuff like that. So
And that's
I
just that up at the top.
yeah, I
Okay.
can actually do it from here and mute everybody initially. Depends really whether you're on a right, okay, we've got Michael here. He's just arrived. Hiya.
Hello.
Hi. Great. And so where are you based, Michael?
In Redding, California, currently.
Right, down in Bill Johnson area then. Yeah,
Yeah.
okay. Excellent. Okay, good. I thought it'd be good just to start with, just to find out, okay, where everyone is in terms of their level of encounters and where everyone's at, so that we can sort of see where you want to go, and then feel free to ask anything after that. I'll just mute, make sure everyone's muted, and then if you want to share, we'll start at the end where we started before, with Bracey first, if you like. So if you want to just share a little bit, like where you are in terms of encounters, are you on your mountain? Are you operating in the courts of heaven? Where are you sort of personally?
Okay, it's kind of a mixture. So already gone on my mountain and discovered what my seven mountains are,
That's good, yeah.
and doing my gateways. So I've gone through most of my gateways, having a little bit of trouble with my choice gateway.
Okay.
Doing the mobile courts, been doing that for quite a while and seen a lot of movement, a great deal of movement just personally in my life and in my family and my surrounding, whoever I can touch surrounding. I haven't really gone out and done anything legislative out like in the city or over the city yet. Just meeting with three other people, and two of them are on here, and one of them is not able to get on, but just meeting and stepping in together and having encounters and weekly doing those regularly.
Okay, great. Okay, that sounds good. Have you sort of engaged with the sort of the garden of your heart and dance floor and those type of things on the inside?
I have, because I've been watching some of your stuff and doing the, I mean, it's amazing how you, when I watch what your mentoring session, I have to stop them and, because I go into encounter a lot. And so, done the garden, and the garden's quite built up now. I've got a lot of stuff buried. I didn't know I could bury all that stuff in there.
Yeah.
And, and the dance floor a little bit, but I've been dancing, started dancing in the natural this last year, so that's an interesting feeling the angels dance with me just in the natural, which is really cool.
Good. Excellent.
And yeah.
Okay, brilliant. What about you, Cindy?
Feel like I'm in two places.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with Bracey and Jody. We've been encountering together, and I've been to my mountain. We've done lots of things on the mountain, the dance floor, the garden. I've watched a lot of your videos, and thank you for investing your time. And a lot of things have happened to me in the garden, but he like does a lot on the dance floor that's like almost redressing. It's a totally different engagement for me. So it. I don't know if it's supposed to be that way, but it's very different. And then I've gone on encounters, different places. A couple of things after we went to an Ian Clayton conference, I had some really supernatural encounters and kind of like in the sex trade area. So it was quite interesting.
All right. Okay. Good. Excellent. Okay. So we'll go on to Jody. I'll unmute you.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been doing going to my mountain, going into the garden, doing my gateways, listening to your videos, all this, everything that they're kind of talking about. I think I spend a lot of time in my first love gate. I kind of incorporate that with my garden. And I don't know what else to say. We've been doing encounters together, Cindy Bracey and I and Lainey, and been praying about whether we're going to be a bench, and we didn't really know if 4 people could be a bench, but we definitely feel like we're a gateway and or a door.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's it.
Okay, good. Excellent. Okay. What about you, Michael? Just unmute you there.
Well, it's been interesting. I'm joining here just to see if I'm really to be part of the bench of 3, and I thought I wanted to join. And I had some amazing random encounters in this last year, and I believe I have been on my non. I wouldn't say it was the gateway of love. I've more of a gateway of holiness, I would say, and just living in the holiness and just radical encounters with being in skies with him, and actually sometimes even wanting to create stuff with him in heaven. And then as well as I've seen that I've been able to dance on the dance floor with Jesus and walk with him, and then as well as I have seen the garden too, and been able to walk through the garden in different levels, especially after going through different teachings of Rick Joyner's Final Quest, and seeing that, and that's been helping me. I'm still new in certain areas, but it's been interesting being with the Bethel teachings as well as learning from Ian Clayton and kind of molding those two together. So it's been cool.
Okay, great. Okay. How's that you, Edgar?
I think maybe I've been to my mountain. I'm not sure. You know, in theory, I have. But I have had experiences where, you know, very vivid experiences where I have been to certain experiences. I just don't know where they were. Like right now, I have a poster about trying to figure out the structures of heaven, where I'm at, where I'm going. I know that I go. I know that I haven't been to the gardens because I haven't seen flowers or anything like that, but I just don't know where I am sometimes.
That's okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. All right. Well, I'm really open to serve in any way that you want. So if you want to ask questions or you want to do something or go somewhere, just share what they'd like to do, or if you want to ask anything, feel free.
I have a question.
Yep.
And I didn't have a question, but I had a dream last night, and the question somebody gave me a question, yep. which is interesting. I've been having encounters with wisdom a lot, and being tutored by the 7 spirits of God, just in my personal life and in my family, and so. When do you know when it's time to, I know that I'm supposed to legislate government. I've known that most of my life, and for a long time I thought, am I going to run for government? It didn't make sense. And so when you started talking about it, I thought, okay, that kind of government, and went to the Ian Clayton conference and had, I'm a director of a house of prayer, and it's changing to, he changed the name to the House of Joy, and we just haven't been doing anything because we can't do anything like we did it before. And so when do you know when it's time to move out of whatever personal, you know, cleanup you're doing. I don't know how, you know, into a broader spectrum.
Okay. Well, I think from what my personal experience is in this is sort of there's the sort of two pathways that people can engage in, and you have the relationship side where you're building up the intimacy with God, connected to the source of life, and therefore you can engage in the garden of God and the tree of life, and that sort of whole pathway there really begins to flow from the inside out. So it's much more designed to creating the atmosphere around you, your gateways, flowing the spirit, getting your spirit to grow and to get bigger than your soul and body and encompass around you, engaging with the angelic realm around you, seeing into that realm. And that's really much more about outworking stuff on the ground but connected to the source in heaven. And so engaging with the garden of God and much more about identity, knowing that we're children of God, intimacy within the garden and building that whole sense with the dance floor and the DNA of God. And ultimately that, I found that the garden of the heart, the dance floor, the soaking room and the sort of bridal chamber, in those levels of intimacy on the inside of us, create a opportunity to engage deeper in the realms of heaven. So having engaged a flow and worked through the gateways and that type of thing, then once you then look at the gateways from one perspective, you're opening them up from the inside so that you can flow outwards, but also you need to look to engage in heaven so that you can go inwards and go deeper into the realms of heaven and engage, you know, into heaven itself and the mansion of God, and then beyond that into the heaven of the heavens and the other realms. And so I think once you are working through those gateways and they're beginning to become open, then that's the point really where you then start looking to engage in. Now, I think for most of us, we've all had lots of encounters all over the place where we don't really know where they were and what they were. And I've spent the last sort of year mapping out heaven and producing a map and these two pathways that open up the realm so that we know where we're going and we can go there. Part of the problem with a lot of encounters are some of them are involuntary, and how do I get back to somewhere that God took me? And so making sure that those pathways are pathways of engagement that are ours and uniquely ours, because the places you see and the things, as you described earlier, you know, our encounter on the dance floor may be totally different than someone else's. You know, our encounter in the garden or the soaking room will be probably different because we're different. And God treats us uniquely, and therefore a lot of the symbolism of where we go in the heavenly realms will be uniquely for us. And so, you know, sometimes we can go in together and we get a picture together with things, but generally it's developing an understanding of who we are as to start with. You know, we're in this realm, often we operate in stewardship of ministries, and as we're looking to go beyond that into intimacy and friendship with God, then that's the point where he then introduces us to the mountains in heaven and our rule from there as lords. And I think there's this lordship aspect that comes out of the relationship that we've built and developed, so we can access heaven and, you know, God's garden and find intimacy there and the throne of grace, and there's a whole pathway there. But once you then start to look engaging towards heaven through the different realms of heaven, they are accessible through yielding as a living sacrifice. So, you know, the outer court and then the holy place and the holy of holies and engaging around the ark are a key pathway to worship. And once you can engage around the ark and look into the purposes of God and engage with the four faces of God, that really is the kickoff point into looking to engage in kingship. And I think kingship...
Hi.
Hi. Okay. Nice to meet you. Okay. I'll just meet you. So once we are operating in Lordship, and that means having access to the canopy of angels, it means accessing the mobile court, but also the court of war with the strategies there, and also the court of angels, is operating from mandates and scrolls. So when you're on your own mandate and you've got access to your own scroll there, then you begin to outwork judicially and administer the kingdom from your mountains, the seven mountains that are associated with your life. That equips us, in effect, in Lordship, and we're outworking the king's decrees, if you like. So we get his scrolls, he gives us scrolls, we begin to administer those scrolls with sort of angelic cooperation. And as we're faithful in that, and usually in that, we get a scepter and we get a crown and we get a mantle. When I've then, what happened with me was, I was then given an orb, which was a sort of a round thing with a little cross on it, in terms of the kings and queens have, which represents judicial authority to make legislative decrees. Now we can legislate from our own mountain according to our own spheres, but if you're then going to go into legislating in a town or a city or a region or even a nation, then there's a higher level of authority, and that throne is in the kingdom of heaven rather than in the kingdom of God. So our mountains are within the kingdom of God's sphere of heaven, but it takes a yielding to another level to get into that realm of the kingdom of heaven. And you know, the Zechariah 3 process, you know, walk according to his ways here, then we outwork his principles in the kingdom of God, then we start to govern the house and get charge of the courts, and then ultimately we get access to stand in the presence of God in a higher sphere altogether as sons. And so your scroll and your connection to it, I found when I was engaging around the ark and I was looking into the four faces of God and began to look out of the four faces of God, that began to change the desires of my heart to line up with a greater level of authority. I wasn't too keen on it to start with because I recognize it is responsibility. You know, once you engage in that, you know, you are responsible for what you're doing. You know, and I held back for a while, and because I wasn't really sure I was willing to make the commitment. But eventually God took me out into the solar system and showed me the Earth and just directed me to take it on the inside of me. And I think once you start to take things on the inside and get them into your heart, that gives you legislative authority over them. And you can do that with family, you can do that with, you know, a church, you can do that with different spheres. But once you begin to do that, then you step into a different role and you step into a different authority. And I got invested there. You know, I was originally invested on my own mountain and, you know, given the scepter and the crown and all those things. But I was then invested into a level of kingship, which then opened up wisdom, particularly. I then began to, well, what do I do? You know, how do I legislate? How do I administer? What am I supposed to do from here? And I sought out wisdom, and in engaging with wisdom, she began to teach me about the legislative protocols, and took me to the court of kings, took me to the court of chancellors and the court of scribes, and again then took me into the court of the upright to engage with the men in white linen, and because they're all really much more involved in that level of authority because it has influence over churches, over towns, regions, nations. And so wisdom has sort of taken me to those places, and I've asked her and learned some of the protocols of how to make laws and how then to get those laws authorized and passed into legislation, into the scribes where they put them into law. And then we then look to outwork them here on Earth. And I think that's where, you know, benches of three begin to operate together in that, and they're always looking for a fourth to bring earthly agreement. Because as much as we can do things from the realm of heaven, unless we find an earthly agreement, then you're not going to open up the fullness of the everlasting doors of the windows of heaven. You're going to have a limit to what you can do from that realm. And so from a perspective of church-wise, you know, we have a bench of three, and then we have a group of seven who we bring things to once we've established them in heaven, so that then they come into agreement on earth, and then we all go back to heaven, go back into the court, and we then make pronouncements and agreements there in unity to open up that realm, so that we can start to see a manifestation here. Now, depending on what you're called to legislate, obviously it will be different in different circumstances, because, you know, if you're called to legislate over a nation, you know, the things that you will be operating will be different if you're called to legislate over a church, or if you're, for me, in my sort of personal perspective, you know, I'm part of a bench of three here in the church. I'm also part of a local bench of three. I'm chairman of the local Churches Together group, and there's two guys there that we meet as a bench of three. And then I'm also part of a regional bench over our sort of county, which is a sort of a, you know, a small area compared to some of your states, but it's an area which is 75, 80 miles across and deep. So, and in that, probably no one else would know that we're doing that, other than the people that we're in relationship with, because it's not about looking for any earthly recognition. It's all about being recognized in heaven. And so the angels recognized you in heaven. They recognize the authority that you've been given in heaven. And then you can then really start to outwork those judicial things. And I think one of the keys in that legislative process is engaging the angelic realm and releasing angels to do their part of everything that needs to be done. And there's areas where, you know, if we try and engage things ourselves, we get into trouble, particularly when we come to the atmosphere of the earth. And so many people have tried to engage principalities and powers, and they've looked to bind them, do this and do that to them. And actually, you can't do that from this realm. You have to do it from the realm above. And actually, it's the angel's role to do that. Just like when Daniel was praying and it took, you know, 21 days for the angel to come through, and they had to call for reinforcements to force that visitation through, it's the same now. We need to release the angels into particular realms to deal with and open up the atmosphere. So there's a lot of engagement there judicially, as in kingship, you know, which... You have to be invested. I think, you know, you'll know when you're called, because God will start to give you things, and you'll start to be taken to places, and wisdom will start to give you revelation of things which don't fit where you are. You know, and I mean, it's fun. You know, it's a fun thing. And, you know, and then wisdom can give you access then to the doorways that are there on the heights. And that can take you into, well, I mean, I've gone through four doorways. One's into the stars, one is taking me under the earth, an engagement with Satan's trophy room, which is bringing back things that have been lost generationally and things. Another one is into the atmosphere of the earth, and one's into the earth. And I've been through those four doors. I've not gone back there a lot, because I'm just learning about what you're supposed to do there and how you're supposed to administer there. But that would be, once you start operating in kingship, you then get access to other things. You know, I had an encounter, you know, on Sunday or Sunday before with the Galactic Council, which was a really interesting place to go. And I'm sort of thinking, okay, well, why do I need to go there? And I was given some insight into some of this stuff of raising people up, because actually there's a whole generation that should be operating in that level of authority over the Earth that are not there. Most of the people that make up the Galactic Council are people who have already died, or ancient ones, or those that were taken and have never died, not people who are living. And there are very few people who are living who've accessed that and are bringing those levels of judicial things, because Galactic Council starts meeting in February and goes through several periods of bringing justice and bringing various things, grace and mercy and things into the Earth. And most people have no idea about it. And so, you know, I think God is actually just showing, look, there's a whole load of more things that we're called to do than we ever thought possible. But, you know, make sure that you get your own relationship and you have that source of life flowing, so that it's not just a heavenly thing. There's got to be an outworking earthly in everything we do. But then, you know, look to press in and rule from your own mountains, and then just look for that sense of calling into higher realms. You know, and I, you know, God won't let me stay anywhere for very long. So, you know, he's really called me to map things out and find out how things work, and then help other people to go and do it, so, which I find a bit frustrating at times, because I'd like to sort of get involved in doing some things, and I just won't let me stay in one place for too long. So once I've learned how to do something and passed it on, then he'll take me to something else, which in one sense is fun, but you don't necessarily always see a great fulfillment of things. Although in the church here, you know, we're looking to outwork these principles. You know, and I am helping another guy set up a church based on these principles from the start, in terms of Bench of Three and Seven and mountains and mandates and scrolls. But I would say, you know, in terms of legislative government, everything should operate from a scroll or a mandate. You know, it's like I wouldn't do anything now without a scroll or a mandate. You know, and that would be a major change in how I would do things. And then once I get a scroll, you know, I can get the associated strategy that goes with it. I can assign angels to it, you know, and actually then you can really begin to function once you have authority given to you in those areas. And don't try and do anything outside of the areas that you've been given a scroll for, because you step into trouble. You know, and, you know, you will begin to operate, and also you will begin to be given authority to clear dragons and giants and different things from those spheres that you're called to bring legislative government over. And until you get rid of those, it's really difficult to deal with the atmosphere of the Earth. And until you deal with that, it's really difficult to see a major change on the Earth until we're seeing, you know, the everlasting doors opening and things really flowing down. But, you know, God is teaching these things pretty quickly and accelerating it. And I'm sure that some of you guys, you know, you're here because you really want to engage in those levels. Seemingly four of you are from the similar area, which gives you a great advantage in this stuff, because you can work together because you're already meeting together. You know, a couple of you from the sort of California area. You know, so I'm just really looking to connect with people to just see how I can help in any way to get people together who feel called to the same either area or sphere or something in the kingdom. You know, and everyone's at different levels, but it's great to find groups of people that are similar levels, so, you know, you can work with that effectively. So if that answers some of your question. Anyone else want to share something, ask something?
Well,
Does
somebody say something? Okay. I just wanted to, I don't know, I thought it'd be really cool to be able to, it seems like you have a gifting to take people in and help them find their scrolls and see things that maybe they might not get to see just on their own. So I was wanting to do some of that. And we did try to go in and see our scroll as a group the other day, and we saw a lot of things. I don't necessarily think we saw what was written on the scroll, but we saw our weapons and things like that. So.
Yeah. I'm sort of very open for those sorts of things. I think we'll see how we go today. I just want to give people an opportunity just to sort of find their feet and see the questions. But if because making sure that everyone's in a place to be able to go into those things. But I'm very open to do that without a doubt. I think Michael, you had a question.
Yes, I just wanted questions because I've experienced recently more encounters in atmosphere, but it's been interesting to see. I've been not speaking with many angels, but like kind of seeing the traveling. As I'm part of a certain ministry who's related with Bill Johnson's ministry, and it's like I'm just seeing the connections, but they don't really work with each other, and understanding that as well as where my role is with being in church, as I'm not part of the intercessory team, and how that applies, as I haven't been given a scroll to be intercessor for the church itself, unless if I have through those encounters. And so I've wondered, am I called to be an intercessor for the church? I see many encounters with them, with the church and the ship going in the internal seas with the whole church, and an angel surrounding the church in the sanctuary. So I've wondered if I'm called to that, because I see many encounters with the Lord of my future, of my calling with the Middle East. And I'm actually planning to move to the Middle East this next year. And so that's going to change my role, at least being in California, being venture three if I and more feel like if I'm supposed to do it. And so working on that and where I'm called with that. So I'm just wondering about your thoughts on that.
I mean, some of what God is doing is just bringing people into a fresh understanding of how to do things. And I think there's a lot of old ways that were okay, but they were not the best. And they what God has got to bring us to where we are, and He's opened up realms of understanding for people in terms of intercession or looking to deal with atmospheres and things like that. Most of that in the old way was looking to do it from here, without being in a realm above it, and it did cause, I think, a lot of problems to people. And I think some people, unfortunately, a lot of things that happen within the body across the world, God does something somewhere, and then someone will write a book about it, and then someone will try and do it somewhere else, and it was probably only ever intended for the one place, and therefore people wonder, well, why is it not working where I'm trying to do it? And so it's really important to, I think, to see that God is, I think the old order of things is winding down. And, there's a generation like Moses who did amazing things in the kingdom, but never went into the next realm, into the promised land. And I think there's a lot of things, a lot of ministries that are being tested and challenged right now to whether they're going to move forward or whether they're going to stay with what they know and just keep hold of what they know. And so a lot of people, I think, are being drawn to things. God is calling them. They feel a drawing on the inside, which is into something new. And, I think someone said, God would rather have an amateur in the new than an expert in the old. And so we're going to have to willing to let go of some of the old mindsets, the old ways of doing things, so that we can embrace these new ways. And intercession, I think, is one of the biggest areas, because a lot of the sort of understanding of intercession, or how do we stand in the gap, how do we intercede on behalf of things, God is just giving so much more revelation of how to do that by using the judicial systems of heaven, how to engage the courts, you know, how to stand on behalf of, in identification of, if you've been given authority. If you've not been given authority, you really don't want to do it. Because God recognizes the authority that he gives. In terms of a church setting, you know, we may have a mountain in our own life which calls us to do certain things, and that gives us a level of authority over our own spheres. And one of those spheres could be church, but that needs recognition. You can't do it outside of the recognition that you're given that authority for. And it's dangerous to try and do stuff that you're not been recognized in a church setting for. In terms of your own ministry, your own life, you have freedom to do everything that God's called you to do. And, you know, so long as we're recognized in heaven, we can do things in heaven that has a positive out effect on things. But when it comes to knowing, you know, where are you called, that's part of your scroll of destiny. Knowing, you know, your desires of your heart will draw you towards places, you know, you sort of feel called to a certain area. You know, just because you live in a place doesn't necessarily mean that you won't have authority somewhere else, because authority is not limited by physical position. It's actually the authority you have in heaven. So, you know, you could live in the Middle East and still have authority operating in California. You could live in California and operate with authority in the spiritual realm elsewhere. I think there are certain things that when you do come together in a region and you live there, you are sort of, you carry something more in your heart for it. But in all these things, so long as you're carrying the mandate and the scroll that you've been given by God within your heart and you look to outwork it, you will begin to become more effective when you do it from a heavenly realm perspective. And I think just as what happened in the past when the Spirit left, the glory left the temple, it didn't just suddenly disappear. It sort of went from the very center of the temple, eventually out the door, and then degrees away from the temple. You know, I feel God is calling us to cross over into a whole different dimension and become, you know, those like Joshua and Caleb. They had a different spirit. They were willing to go and take possession of something new and do things a different way. And they stepped up their level of responsibility, because no longer was Moses just going to do it all for them. They had to learn to do it for themselves. And so they were all involved in marching around Jericho and the walls coming down. Whereas, you know, if Moses had done it, he would have probably hit it with his staff and the walls would have come down. But he wasn't allowed to do that because he wasn't allowed to take the old things into the new. And therefore, there's a lot of old things right now that are being pulled and stretched, and people are being challenged to let go of things and embrace new ways of doing it. And I believe there'll probably be a lot of people who end up as great ministers in the old Moses generation but are unwilling to embrace the new. And they will keep going with the old until there's nothing left of anointing because the Spirit's left it. Hopefully, they will recognize that, unlike Samson, who didn't realize the anointing had left him. Hopefully, they will realize and they will stop and then pursue new things. But I think, you know, there's a lot of ministries right now, I feel, and I've seen in the spiritual realm, that are being really, really challenged to make some changes and be willing to embrace new things. And it's a really difficult thing when you've got a reputation. You know, I've got no reputation. I don't really care what anyone else thinks about me or anything else. But those who've built up a reputation, they don't want to lose it. You know, so embracing something that's a bit out there, they tend to hold back. You know, and it's like we can't afford to have a reputation in what God is doing in the new things, because it's about him and not us. And so there's a lot of challenge, I think, going on around those things right now. My encouragement to you would be, you know, just make sure that you get the mandate for whatever you do. You know, get a mandate from God for whatever you do, and get get the angels assigned to it. Because it's so much easier when you've got the angels going before you, preparing the way, doing what they do best, that allows us to do what we can do. I think that's probably about all I can say on that.
If I could say with that, the mandate, I was given a mandate for a specific calling for a church in the Middle East last summer, and a round encounter with the Chariots of Fire, actually, where the Elijah's Chariot of Fire, and God said, this is your church, pick it, and so I picked it, and God has given me that, and it's in the Middle East, so I know that I'm haven't needing to step into that, and that's why I'm going back, and so I can actually start stepping to that, and now the key is in the waiting, trying to find the people, the community, the team, to take with me to get to that man, to get that mandate started with, of course, asking the angels and asking the Lord to just kind of guide me along to get that mandate worked out.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, in that stuff, in terms of your own mountain, that's what you can begin to do there. You can call things that be not as if they were. You can call people forth. You know, you can creatively release things which will open up those opportunities that you need from there, because that's what the mountain is there to do. You know, we can call and move mountains from there. We can shift things by decree. You know, we can use the scepter of authority and the mantle and the crown effectively from our own mountain that we have been called, and you know, you can prepare the way for what you're going to do by speaking it into being, you know, and, you know, God call things that be not as if they were. Actually, once you have a mandate and you can then begin to say, okay, what is on that mandate? What is it specifically? You know, what are the seven things that go with it? Because you're going to have seven things to outwork with it. You're going to want to set up a bench of three that works from there with you on that level of authority. You want to release people then, so you can start now, you know, preparing that. And, you know, the more you see in the realm of before, the easier it is to see manifested in the present. And so, you know, giving a mandate is a great start. You just have to work that and begin to actually be clear about what's on it. You know, and if you need to, you take it back, go into the court of war, into the strategy room, and get a strategy. You know, what is my strategy for the next 12 months before I'm going to move? Go and get that strategy, then use that strategy then to declare and to outwork where you're going to go from there. You know, in learning these things, I wouldn't do anything an old way anymore. I would make sure I had a clear mandate, a strategy for everything, get it authorized, get it assigned, get men in white linen associated with it, you know, go to the Court of Upright so that you can get those who are going to be advisors and those who are going to be those who help you along the way. You know, wisdom is a real key, and engaging wisdom really helps in this whole process, because she will give you insight into how to rule and how to you know, because it says in Proverbs 8 that she's there to help us as sons of men in our kingship or princeship or nobleship, in a sense. There's three levels of authority it talks about there, ruling as kings, princes, and nobles. And it's identifying, well, where am I right now? What's my level of authority right now? And getting her to help you. Seven spirits of God are also very helpful in terms of the position and helping you and holding you accountable to that position and authorizing you for it, you know, and they will train and teach you some of these things as well. You know, so there's a whole training hall that you can go and sign up for in the realm of heaven and engage in their tutorship. But as you know the position, you've been given the mandate for the position, then it's much easier to get the things that go with that position in the future. So yeah, just keep at it, and you know, as you, and you know, I know a lot of people, well, how do I do it? well, you know you've been given a mandate. You have an encounter that backs up that mandate, so you can take that by faith. You know, so and okay, I'm going to take that mandate into the court of scribes, if you see it, or into the court of, you know, the judicial court, the chancellor's court. You know, if you can engage visually and you can experience that and you see things, that's great. But also you can tune in your senses to, for your spirit to discern what's going on there, because it's not just about visual things. It's making sure that the perception works and our spirit is engaged. And so, you know, a lot of what I get is visual, but a lot of it actually is my spirit being there and letting, I just know. You know, I just know that I know certain things because my spirit is informing me of where I am and what I'm doing. You know, sometimes I get distracted by seeing things because I want to know some stuff. And, you know, I can, sometimes I'm just like, woo, this is really interesting. You know, and it's like, well, what am I here for? You know, so I tend to tune into what is the purpose of my encounter in a place rather than so much about, ooh, what does it look like? Because, you know, I want the function of it rather than the form. You know, because I've got stuff to do, and so it's easier to do it once you're clear on what you're doing, whether you see it or not. You know, spiritual perception is not just about vision. There's so much more that goes with it. You know, because you can have a fantastic vision and not have a clue what it's about. Or you can have no vision and God can tell you directly, he wants you to do this. You know, and I'd rather actually get the direct, do this, rather than having to try and work it out for myself. So I try and tune into what God is really wanting to give me revelation about, and not too much worried about the actual place I am in terms of a visual sense. But because I've been there already, I can do that. You know, it's very difficult to do that when you've not been there, I understand. So having an encounter that then opens up the door so you can go back and back and back is really helpful. But once that's there and it's your pathway, you know, most of the places I go just by instant thought. You know, I step into the realm of heaven and just think where I want to go and I'm there. But it's taken me quite a long time to develop that and practice it so that I can do that. And so those pathways of engagement are now mine. You know, it used to take me an hour to get right into the ark because I had to go through all the other realms and go through the veil of the way, the truth, and the life, and, you know, present myself as a living sacrifice and go through the process of being prepared to serve. You know, now I don't need to do that. I just do it because that's now my pathway and those things are open to me. But it did take some time. And we've got to be willing to put in the time to develop those places, really. So, yeah. Okay. Anyone else got anything they want to share? I think we'll next time we get together, we'll just go straight into some encounters, and I'll seek God to about where to go and what to do, and we'll sort of have some fun in some different places, you know. But I think today I just wanted to sort of just get a touch of where people are at. So if there's anything else, we got some time. So if there's anything else you want to ask or today, feel free. Yeah.
I am. This is probably really simple, but something that the Lord has been kind of showing our group is filling the atmosphere. Do you know what he's meaning by that? I mean, it's like you know, we're dealing a lot with relationship, obviously, but it's like the Lord is showing us how to change the atmosphere so we feel it, you know, the Spirit of God rather than other things.
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways of looking at that. There's the personal atmosphere you've ran your own personal life, so you want to make sure that you are in control and in kingdom authority over the atmosphere around you, so you need that flow from the inside out and your spirit engaged. That then gives you access to the realms of the spirit around you, and so if you're involved in personally connecting up with people, in a ministry setting or has, you know, very much more personal stuff, you want to make sure, obviously, you're demonstrating the kingdom and you have a kingdom authority around you. And so that whole area flows from the inside out, and we look to engage our spiritual senses to see what the angels are doing around us. Some people look into the dark side of things. You know, I'm not really too interested in that at this point, but I'm really interested in seeing what is it that God's doing. And I found that there's three areas to engaging in that atmosphere around my life. One is the sort of the atmosphere of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, so where spiritual gifts function. So you get what the Spirit is telling you about where you are, and that might be a person or a place. And so you're tuning into, is there a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or intuition really or distinguishing of spirits that are around your own life or your own sphere? And so that grows and develops. And then you can begin to look into the personal angelic realms of people. So you can see their angels and you can begin to see their atmospheres and see the colors that they're giving off and the different fragrances that they're putting off, good or bad, and you can pick things up that way. And then really looking then into what is the atmosphere of the angelic realm around where I am, and then you begin to see, you know, the portals that are open and the ladders that go up and down and the different things like that. And that's all sort of our own personal atmospheres. Then really you have the atmosphere of the earth in which that is encompassing a more of an area or a town or a city or something, a region. And that's really where you need to see, you know, traditionally you'd see them as principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wickedness and that type of authority structure which is in the atmosphere of the earth. And it is all an authority structure which is ruled from above by those dragons and giants and ogre-y things that are, you know, above, and the false kings and the things that are in the realm of the kingdom of God. And that area of light and darkness is where we have to clear it of those things. And to do that, you need to understand what gives them authority. And so when you're discerning the atmosphere, it's how God showed me, and when he took me first and showed me the atmosphere of the earth and showed me the things that were there and how the rivers of life was being blocked, and there's various things that enable blockages to take place. It was very much to do with what we do here as a result of historic things that have taken place here that feed into those things. So something happens, let's say something happens in a region or you know, and let's think of it in terms of like the land crying out for what's happened. You know, maybe there's bloodshed or there's something in the land that cries out. That whatever's happened creates an atmosphere that people then begin to perpetuate, and it's like electing things to have authority over you. And so the atmosphere of the earth, those principalities and powers, principalities really are neutral because they're just spheres of territory. It's what's in them operating that's the key. So those principalities can be good principalities in which we're loosing the angels from above to operate in that realm, or bad principalities in which the enemy is using the things that have happened in the past and are ongoingly happening to continue to give authority to influence the earth. And so once you start to identify those type of atmospheres, you know, you could have like a poverty mentality that's over an area. And actually people just struggle with poverty. They just think poverty mentality wise, you know, that is an atmosphere which has been created. And you need to identify what gives it authority. And once you identified what gives it authority, then you're looking then to see, okay, I need to remove the authority within the realm of the kingdom of God that is over that. Then I take authority over it. Then I can loose angels to deal with and clear that atmosphere by sending them on assignments. You may need to do things practically in this realm as well. So certain prophetic acts that God will give you direction to do, which will deal with things here as well as there. So there's a lot of things really which begin to become apparent once you're operating in that level of authority, and you will begin to get revelation of things. You use the court system a lot to deal with those things, because the enemy operates on legal rights, so you have to remove his legal right. You know, so take what you've seen into the courts, and that's where you got to be prepared to stand in identification and receive the judgment of God on behalf of the generations, various things that have happened. You know, we've been learning about lie busting as a ministry here, and you can lie bust a region or a town or a city. And so you go to God and you ask for the revelation of what God wants to do in the atmosphere, and then you then realize he'll start to show you the different things where things got separated, where division took place, where things got separated off and isolated, and you begin to see what's still operating, and you can effectively reintegrate things, bring things back into unity and harmony by dealing with, you know, the access you've got in the realms of heaven. And then you start to get the good stuff about making decrees and laws and changing things, you know, and bringing in new legislation that will start to operate in that principality, and you will start to rule in righteousness and in justice rather than the wickedness that's ruling right now. You know, so as you pursue it, I'm sure God's going to give you a whole lot of insight into what it is that's causing the atmosphere to be affected, and then, you know, what is the strategy for dealing with that. You know, it's good fun though. I mean, you know, it's good fun to see the atmosphere start to clear. And ultimately, you want to make sure you open as many everlasting doors that you can, because then you're going to get as big an area of an outpouring of the Spirit as you possibly can get. And you're going to see that area changed. It's like almost like within a certain radius of space, there are certain numbers of everlasting doors. And you've got to get a number of them open to really make a significant difference. And the more you can bring people together, and the more you can get cooperation and you can get unity, then the more everlasting doors you start to affect. You know, and that's when really things will, in the future, things are going to be where we create cities of refuge, really, where the everlasting doors are open, and actually we live under a whole different judicial system of heaven. And those places are going to be key, and a lot of these Venture 3 things is about creating those apostolic resources that will create a city of refuge, whether it's a physical location or not, so that in time to come, they will be places where the harvest is going to come. You know, and I prophetically, where those places are, they're going to see 20% of the population come in as harvesters. And so we've got to be ready for that harvest, and ready to equip those harvesters in the supernatural dimensions of the kingdom that we're learning. You know, we're not going to send them out to do the things the old way. We're going to send them out with authority and power under open heaven to administer the kingdom and do the greater works of Jesus. You know, and some of the greater works of Jesus we've never seen on earth yet. But we will. Right. So, there we go. Okay. Right, well, I've probably got a couple of minutes. I'm not sure I can say anything in a couple of minutes, but I can try.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
You were talking about the everlasting doors, and I'm not really sure what that is, but Jody and I went to, it's called the Cities of Refuge Church, and this area is known to, it's It's been prophesied it's going to be a city of refuge, and that's why I do the house of prayer. Anyway, so that's part of it. And so we were in a time of worship, and all of a sudden I became a stairway, and I saw the everlasting doors, and I opened them, and then I became this huge river, this gate where water was just pouring out of me, and I thought, wow, that was cool.
Yep.
And so I didn't know what I did. I don't really know what that is. I just kind of do things and go, wow, okay, that was cool. So is that like, I don't know.
Well, it's like a forerunner experience. And so we have these encounters that open up revelation for us then to go and pursue to see how that actually works out on a larger scale. And so the everlasting doors, really, it comes from Psalm 24, where it talks about, you know, be lifted up, you heads, O you gates, and then be lifted up, you everlasting doors, that the King of Glory can come in. And so literally, those everlasting doors were where the glory of God was manifested on the earth in the first creation, and they got closed as a result of Satan's fall. And there's still residues on the earth. New Age people call them ley lines, but they're lines of power that was connected to those where those everlasting doors were open. And it was like a grid that was over the earth where the glory of God was manifested. Now, we have to become the heads, symbols of authority, that are lifted up to become the gates that then allow those everlasting doors to be open. And once we get those everlasting doors open, then we start to see the glory of God manifested. Not just the presence of God, but the glory of God. And we'll start to see the rivers of glory that come out. You know, the atmosphere of the earth is dammed, and the river of life has been dammed up there. And once we begin to open the everlasting doors over the earth, those dams are going to break, and we're going to see an outpouring of life, which is going to bring in this harvest like we've never seen it before. But we've got work to do to open the everlasting doors. And as we're lifted up and we take our positions of headship, it gives us the authority to begin to operate that way. And because, yeah, our lives, we are a gateway. And, you know, in a sense, we have an everlasting door that's associated with us and our mountains that we can become that river through, and we can become a source of life that comes through it. But in terms of regional stuff, and when we come in terms of Bench of Three authority stuff, you get over an area, you have to open up a number of things to get an effective demonstration of the kingdom manifested. You know, in the past, just God's grace has responded to people's desperation or prayer, and we've seen these things open. You know, and there are some places that it is open over. You know, places like Bethel and places like that, that have created an atmosphere that God's presence, and it's precious there. It's like there is an everlasting door that's open, you know, and it's an awesome thing. We just want to open more and more, and we want to rule from above that to ensure what's coming through it. You know, a lot of sort of heaven invading earth seems to be, well, we're just open for God to come and do what he wants to do, rather than actually, no, we're supposed to go there and we direct what happens here, rather than just being reliant on, well, we trust the grace of God will do it, and we're doing what we can to attract his presence, and that's great. And God is attracted to places that love him and are precious about his presence and hosting his presence. Fantastic. But there's a whole dimension of authority that's above that, which is about us in sonship, rather than us here sort of, God, will you rend the heavens and come down? Yeah, it's actually, you know, God has rent the heavens and come down, and he's gone back, and he's invited us to go back there so that we can then manifest the heaven on earth. So there's just a dimension that goes above that. But I'd encourage you to look in Psalm 24, look at the whole psalm. The whole thing starts with the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And that is where we're coming from. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And we are supposed to administrate everything in it with him. And we do that by going there, being heads of authority, and then opening those doors and releasing it. You know, so, yeah, those encounters that you get, it's like when you journal them, go back to them, meditate around them, you know, go and take it to wisdom and get wisdom's perspective on those things, and you'll find sort of revelation will start to open up around it to give you a clarity about what it is that you're called to do specifically in it. But it's great, you know, good stuff. So,
Mike, I just want to honor you for what you're doing. My husband asked me what I was doing this morning, and I said, we're talking to the real deal this morning. And he says, does that mean we're not the real deal? And I said, no, but this guy has walked there. And I mean, there's when you started talking and I got on the call, it's like I felt like there was this bubbling brook of a river inside of me wanting to come out. It was like the depth. And you're doing that, and so thank you. And there's a real safety in sitting under you, and I just want to say that. I just had to say that, that it's amazing.
Thank you. You're welcome. Sure. I'm just trying to give away and serve the best I can. You know, it's like my desire is to equip others and to release others into their destinies and what God's called them to do. And any way I can do that, you know, I'm really happy and I'm willing to help and participate in it. Because, you know, we're all children of God, and all of us have destiny in God. And, you know, we may be working it out in different ways, but, you know, we need to encourage each other to actually outwork who we are. And, you know, if I can do that in any small way, then, you know, I just love doing that. You know, so for me, it's a privilege to do it because I know that, you know, you guys can have greater dimensions of authority than I can ever have sat here, because, you know, you coming together over areas and regions, and that's, you know, an awesome blessing to be able to help and to release some of that around the world. And God is raising up all sorts of people to do it, you know, and what you receive, you'll be able to give, you know. And hopefully, you know, I know people have said it, it's like, you know, I really do want the ceiling that I reach to be the floor that other people can stand on, so they can go into the fullness of everything that God intends going forward, you know, right into, you know, the whole of creation and the whole of the dimensions that are there for us, going up into the heaven of heavens and perfection and on. You know, there's so much more for us to discover, you know. And, you know, as I said, you know, I sort of get to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. And I want to help people become masters of the things that they're called to do, because that's what I feel God's called me to do. So thanks for your encouragement, and you know, bless you. So right, I need to go now. So